Politico Brussels Playbook, Juncker's Expectations Management. Brussels braces for Bannon, political indecency. By Florian Eder. With Zoyshev Talovich. Send tips here, tweet at Floriander, listen to today's playbook and view in your browser. While you were sleeping, Donald Trump overnight issued a booming warning to Iran's President Hassan Rouhani. To Iranian President Rouhani, never, ever threaten the United States again or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before, the president tweeted in caps. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. More from Quint4G. Good morning. Little reminder, don't forget your summer reading list. Last exit before the mother of all trade wars. Summer may well be here, but we've still got a potentially important week ahead of us. European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker is off to Washington on Tuesday to meet with Donald Trump on Wednesday. Meanwhile, he'll be staring clear of the Twitter sphere. What Juncker wants is to use the little leverage Europe has to avoid the worst. Tariffs on cars, by arguing, by offering something, but not too much, and by threatening the US with potential countermeasures, which are currently being prepared. As you can't take anything for granted in dealings with Trump, it might well turn into an exercise of keeping Europe's self-esteem intact. Expectations management is part of the mission. Juncker will try to avoid the tariffs, despite knowing that if Trump is consistent on one thing, it's delivering on his campaign promises. But expectations for Juncker's visit are perhaps even higher among White House officials opposed to the auto tariffs than among Europeans. They hope the Commission president manages to head off the trade war, which even some of Trump's top advisors think could be disastrous. Meaning they expect Juncker to bring with him some concessions that will make it easier for Trump to declare victory and back off. Ben White has more. Black humor, German MEP Daniel Kasperi, from the EPP, has this advice for Juncker. Offer to reopen TIP talks, under a new name. The tremendous Trump Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. Maybe it helps, Welt newspaper quoted him as saying, alas, the story isn't online. The Mnuchin update, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin isn't averse to the above. He said at a G20 meeting of finance ministers in Buenos Aires, assuming Europeans buy more American goods. He also had his work cut out for him, trying to convince the world Trump didn't mean it when he attacked the Federal Reserve. It's a pity Europeans don't like their governments telling them what to buy. Be it expensive American gas or cars made for a smooth ride at low speed, and not for driving pleasure. On political decency, IN3X. Entry 1, we are seamen, Italian seamen. We have 2,000 years of civilization? And we do these things, said Admiral Giovanni Pettorino, commander of the Italian Coast Guard. He spoke of an unwritten principle that resides in the soul of every sailor. That of providing help to anyone who risks losing their life at sea. It's remarkable this has to be said, or that official EU statements have to reiterate that saving lives is part of the EU's own naval mission, Sophia. But Pettorino's audience was the Italian government, which hasn't stopped short of any escalation that would stress the fact migrants aren't welcome anymore. Latest from this weekend in three steps, Italy announced it would deny Sophia boats entry into its ports. Sophia said, well, then, there's no reason to sail at all. Italy agreed that the mission should stay in place until the end of August, for now, and the mandate will be reconsidered. Remember, the Sophia mission was hailed as an important step in fighting human traffickers only 2 years ago, when its mandate was widened to help build a Libyan coast guard. No one openly questioned whether lives should be saved at sea back then. Entry 2. German Chancellor Angela Merkel gave a long press conference on Friday, as she does every year before she goes on holiday, and lamented a certain brutalization of political speech in the migration debate in Europe, but also in her own camp. She is trying to pay even more attention to my language, to be precise, to make sure facts are accurate. She said, in a not-so-subtle dig at Donald Trump but also at her coalition partners in the CSU. think, speak, act, by setting an example, I try to keep this process of coarsening a bit under control. Because I believe there is a pretty close link between thinking, speaking and acting, Merkel said. Janosch Dielker has the write-up. Meanwhile, in Munich, the CSU urged people not to take part in a protest rally and show political decency instead. Quote, Bavaria would not be where it is today if the CSU had not always had the best for Bavaria in mind for 6 decades. That went well. Some 25,000 protesters gathered Sunday in a cheerful march under a heavy summer rain against the radicalization of the political discourse. Local Süddeutsche newspaper here. Entry 3, the tone of the conversation between Malta and its bigger neighbor Italy has become jarring. In a letter to Italy's Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte, Malta's Prime Minister Joseph Muscat tells his colleague off, writing, in almost impeccable Italian, that he was perplexed by a note he received earlier. Italian allegations that Malta had acted against the rules are totally unacceptable, Muscat writes, going into detail about the recent case of a fishing vessel. Helpful advice, we understand Italy's difficulties. But the solution is certainly not to attack a European partner facing the same challenges and continuously showing solidarity, Muscat wrote in the letter, dated July 15, which Playbook has seen. Europe is truly on the move as the transport world barrels full steam ahead into 5G connectivity, decarbonization, the Internet of Things, multimodality and more. Don't miss our exclusive early bird offer for Politico's second Connected Transport Summit this October 16 in Brussels before it expires on July 27. Join us and hear from European Commissioner for Mobility and Transport Violeta Bulc, member of the European Parliament Committee on the Environment, Public Health and Food Safety Bas Eickhout, Greens, Netherlands. German Bundestag head of the Office of Technology Assessment Professor Armin Grunwald and many more. European wrap-up. Muscat's nightmare is over, let's stay in Malta for a while. An emotional Muscat spoke at a press conference minutes after the conclusions of an inquiry that ruled that his family had no connection to a company linked to the Panama Papers scandal were published. He said his nightmare was over, adding that the day of truth has finally arrived. Someone falsified the documents. This was nothing more than a frame-up against me and my family. They wanted to harm me and the Maltese economy, Muscat said. The claims were made by journalist Daphne Caruana Galizia, who was murdered by a car bomb in October 2017, and backed up by an employee of Pilatus Bank, Maria Efimova. Lawrence Cerulus has the story. The report is in Maltese, key graphs in English here. The inquiry concludes the following, that no shares in the company Agrant Incorporated were found to belong to Michelle Muscat, or otherwise traceable to her, her husband Dr. Joseph Muscat, to any of their family members. The inquiry did not find Joseph Muscat, Michelle Muscat, to have been involved in corruption and or money laundering and or suspect financial transactions. Who's down, opposition leader Adrian Delia, from the Partit Nazionalista, said his party had made the allegations its own, and I have therefore asked former opposition leader and his predecessor, Simon Busuttil, to shoulder political responsibility and suspend himself from our parliamentary group to focus on the ongoing inquiries, Delia said at a press conference. I have immediately removed him as shadow minister for good governance and took the portfolio myself. The fight against corruption is an important one and no one is bigger than the party or the country. Benalla affair. French President Emmanuel Macron's former aide Alexander Benalla faced a judge on Sunday over his assault of a protester earlier this year. Macron himself has stayed silent, but Reuters reports he has ordered a shake-up of his office. Opposition politician Jean-Luc Mélenchon declared the affair to be akin to Watergate. It's quite a story, but enough of the lame comparisons. Interior Minister Gérard Collomb will face questions from the Assemblée today. Brexit charm, British Prime Minister Theresa May and senior ministers are planning a Brexit charm offensive this summer. May will this week meet Austrian Chancellor Sebastian Kurz, Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš, and Estonian Prime Minister Jüri Ratas. her de facto deputy, David Lidington, will go to France later this month, and the new foreign secretary, Jeremy Hunt, is in Germany today to meet with his counterpart Heiko Maas. Home Secretary Sajid Javid is being dispatched to Spain, and Business Secretary Greg Clark will go to Italy. But Ireland's Prime Minister Leo Varadkar is also on tour this week. He'll travel to Zagreb today, Bucharest on Tuesday, and Italy on Thursday. Brussels braces for Bannon. Donald Trump's former chief of staff Steve Bannon is planning to set up a foundation in Brussels to support right-wing, anti-establishment groups in the run-up to next year's European Parliament election, he told the Daily Beast. Spain's PP moves the right. Pablo Casado is the new leader of Spain's Conservative Popular Party, and he has vowed to steer it to the right in a bid to make socialist Pedro Sánchez the country's shortest-serving prime minister. Diego Torres has the full details. White Helmets safe. Israel has evacuated some 400 members of the White Helmets civil defense group from southwestern Syria in a secret operation. Volunteers and family members were taken to Jordan and will find shelter in different Western countries, the UK and Germany included. Bild's Paul Ronsheimer reports from the Golan Heights. Sweden struggles over child marriage. A row over how to deal with child marriage among immigrants has inflamed political debate ahead of a general election in Sweden, reports Natalie Rothschild. Although Sweden in 1973 banned marriages in which one or both parties is underage, it was possible under some circumstances to get special dispensation. The previous center-right government tightened the law in 2014, amid growing awareness of the prevalence of so-called honor-related oppression, including forced marriage, among some immigrant communities. Still, marriages between underaged partners are recognized, and not annulled, if carried out abroad. Who invented the self-driving car? As early as the late 1980s, decades before companies like Google, Tesla and Uber were founded, a team of German engineers led by scientist Ernst Dieckmans brought self-driving cars onto European streets. More than 30 years later, however, their pioneering work has fallen into oblivion. Janosch Dielker brings you the story of Dieckmans' invention, and how it came to be all but forgotten. Poland, rule of law update. Poland's law and justice government tightened its political grip on the country's judiciary system by passing on Friday a law that lowered the number of Supreme Court judges required to nominate a new president of the court to 80, down from 110. Out of a total 120. Our man on the ground Michal Broniachowski writes in to report. The trick is they are about to nominate about 80 new judges. The job is being done by a completely politically controlled National Judiciary Council. The law also lowers professional requirements for candidates to the court. All that in order to quickly finalize the takeover of the court before the European Commission manages to send Poland's new Supreme Court law to the European Court of Justice, which might then order an immediate suspension of it. The law that passed on Friday also removed the requirement that judges are assigned cases randomly. Trump world. See you in court, the first trial prosecuted by U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller, scheduled to begin this week, will offer the clearest public view yet of what his investigators have on Donald Trump's former campaign manager Paul Manafort. Full story from our U.S. team here. Pompeo Democracy, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo compared Iran's leaders to a mafia on Sunday and pledged to support Iranians unhappy with their government. From Putin's hit list, Russian prosecutors have released a list of Americans they want to question in connection with their case against Hermitage Capital founder William Browder. David J. Kramer was on that list, and writes for Politico that Putin is not our friend. He is not even our foe, he is our enemy. Mercosur, renewed optimism, but also frustration. EU Trade Chief Cecilia Malmström and South American ministers have succeeded with their last-minute rescue operation to save the EU-Mercosur trade talks from sliding into another fatal limbo. ProTrade is covering the continued talks ahead of the Brazilian elections in October. For a complimentary trial, email pro@politico.eu. Over and out. Birthdays, MEPs Thierry Cornillet and Arnie Leitz. Salas Skvernelis, PM of Lithuania, The Economist's Lane Green. Celebrated Saturday, Italian comedian turned politician Beppe Grillo. Moana Genevi, Elizabeth Collett. Swedish Prime Minister Stefan Löfven, Belgian National Day. Celebrated Sunday, Harold Wilimski MEP. Belgian politician Pieter de Krom, Rector of the College of Europe Jurg Monor, Andrew Holness, PM of Jamaica. Whose mantle was it anyway? Some of you wrote in on Friday to point out that Dominic Raab took over from David Davis. Not Boris Johnson, as the UK's Brexit secretary. Right you are, please pardon the mistype. Zoya says she blames it on what the Aussies call a brain fart. Subscribe to the Politico newsletter family. Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence. DC Playbook, all our Politico pro-policy morning newsletters.